This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's observed each October. And today we are joined by two individuals from Transitions of Pennsylvania, based in Lewisburg, but serving a much wider area. Maylin Kranz is the CEO of Transitions of PA, and we will talk with Tracy Strasser as well. She serves as outreach coordinator currently. She's been on board a couple of years in that post, and a couple of years before that in other facets of the work. Thanks for joining us on the program today. Let's begin by talking just a bit about October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. What's the overall goal? I mean, what do you hope, from one end of the month to the other, what people are going to be focused on?
We obviously, as an organization, are always working on providing outreach and sharing information and education to our communities that we serve about domestic violence. But October gives us an opportunity to really hone in our focus, bring it back to center a little bit, and really push awareness of how prevalent domestic violence is in our community and why people should be paying attention.
How has the way people look at domestic violence shifted? I've been doing this for 35 plus years, and I know the interviews were very different back then as far as how people approached it.
Yeah, I think we've definitely, as a movement overall, done a really great job bringing more and more awareness to what is domestic violence, what are the different factors that can play into domestic violence. Obviously, most people think about that real extreme point where you're seeing bruising, you're seeing injuries, and that there's physical violence, but there's so many other components that go into it. And so I think over time, those of us who've worked in the movement have worked to ensure that communities are aware and individuals are aware that domestic violence isn't just physical, that there can be, situations where there is mental abuse, financial abuse, reproductive coercion, and it doesn't always present as a physical injury. And so, that has changed quite a bit in terms of talking about what domestic violence is, what it really pertains to. And I think that for sure we've moved forward in that it used to be a private issue. It wasn't, this idea of these are things that we keep private. We don't talk about. It stays within the home. And so it is, in terms of what we're doing around awareness, people are becoming more and more aware of, sort of where do relationships go from being healthy to unhealthy to toxic to violent or abusive.
Certainly being in the middle of this issue, you probably notice trends. And it concerns me that sort of recent political trends have perhaps reversed the mentality a little bit about how we view this. Is this have you seen more attitudes maybe reverting?
We haven't really in our communities. Obviously, there's larger conversations that happen on the national stage that try to shift the narrative a little bit. But we have not seen attitudes change. What we've consistently seen, however, is concerns around how guns play into domestic violence. Firearms are the number one cause or tool used in a domestic violence homicide. And so that narrative hasn't changed at all. I think it's one of those things that, right, every community wants to believe that they're safe and that violence isn't happening. Unfortunately, it still does happen, and those are things we need to continue to talk about.
And it certainly reaches across all demographics. This isn't a poor woman gets assaulted. This isn't whatever. I mean, it's anybody. I think people might be surprised sometimes to realize that this can happen anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. We see people from all walks of life who are seeking services from us. You're right in that it doesn't discriminate. We see primarily women, but we do serve men, and so we see men who are seeking services as well. And then obviously, if there are survivors that have children. You know, we're seeing how it's impacting children in homes.
And I want to talk a bit about the current state of transitions in regards to the lack of action in Harrisburg, but we'll get back to you on that. I want to pop over here to Tracy. As outreach coordinator, you kind of are the vanguard of this place that goes out there and gets this information out, which I'm guessing in some cases people who still think of places like Transitions as simply a kind of a shelter type thing. I mean, there's so much more that goes on here. Tell me a bit about what you do and what are those topics you're covering?
The team of educators that work with the outreach coordinator and Transitions starts at the pre-K level, basically, and goes through 12th grade. We have two educators that go into the schools and talk to the students about bullying and healthy relationships and digital drama and consent. It's all age appropriate, and we're trying to break the cycle of abuse. And then we have a health systems training specialist that goes into the hospitals and the doctor's offices and does trainings, teaching them what to look for, what to see, how to respond to survivors and victims. And then we have a campus advocate, an outreach specialist is her title. And she goes on to the college campuses and talks to the students. But as a whole, we are also in the community with tabling events, just trying to educate and bring awareness to these issues that we have in our world.
But the fact that you're reaching from little children all the way up through adults, I mean, there's certainly different ways to handle each one.
Absolutely, it's all age appropriate. We are from the young children, teaching them consent that adults should or people should ask them if they can have a hug, even, and the child has the right to say no if they don't want to be touched. So it's all age appropriate, and we use the positive action by Pacella program, and it's evidence based, and we keep track of everything and test, do pre-tests and tests to make sure that the students are learning and just trying to, like I said, break this cycle of abuse.
What is your is this your first foray into this area that you've been in this position, or have you dealt with people in these situations elsewhere?
I've been with this organization for 4 years now, and I've been in this position for two. So yes, I've worked in the school district for Lewisburg School District for 11 years. And so you see things and you hear things, and the students felt very safe always coming to me and talking. I was just in the athletic office, but I was right next to the cafeteria. So,
all right, let's talk a bit about the state. How has this 4 month budget impasse now? How has that affected places like Transitions?
It's pretty devastating. Transitions is still, we're still operating. All of our services are still at capacity. What we've had to do is, what we've made the decision to do is, as we've had some turnover, we've had a few people that have left the organization for new opportunities, we've had to hold those positions open. At this point, we have not cut back on services that are available to the community. At this point, in that regard, no change for us, but it is extreme financial strain. I think what's important for people to know and understand is programs like Transitions, we work on a reimbursable process. Yes, we are heavily state and federally funded through grants that are often competitive that we have to apply for and compete for. And we have to pay for those expenses before we're reimbursed for them. And so, an organization like Transitions is spending the money up front, and then we're waiting on the state government to pay us back or the federal government to pay us back. And with both budget impasses, money's not trickling in. It's a very slow move. What we've seen in other communities, one of our peer programs in a neighboring county has had to cut 50% of their staff. We are currently covering their hotline 7 days a week for about 6 hours a day, just to provide them some support with having to cut back so far. Transitions is a comprehensive crime victim center, and what we know is it was recently announced that one of the peer programs out of Philadelphia, that is a sexual assault center, has officially closed their doors. And so, anyone's bank accounts, no matter how stable of an organization as they were, it's not infinite. And so the longer this drags on, the more it ultimately impacts the people in your community, the more it results in communities becoming less safe. If resources like Transitions were to either cut services or have to close our doors, what we know is that the people that reach out to us directly will then start calling 911, going to the police stations. And so their calls will be inundated, or needs for services through there will go up. The same thing with the health system. People who may have sought services through us initially for support and guidance and referral will start seeking out other services. And we know that, our services intersect with a lot of other social service organizations, and they're facing the same challenges with the state budget impasse and likely the federal budget impasse as well.
Okay. And I guess part of the problem with saying, well, here's what you can do, is you feel like whichever legislator you talk to, it's not their fault. So, in their mind, it's somebody else's fault. So you took your message to Harrisburg, correct?
Yeah, we did. And we're continuing to share our message forward about how not only is it impacting us locally, but how this is impacting, the Commonwealth and any victim or survivor who's seeking services. Our position is our elected officials were elected to do a job, and we need them to pass the budget. It's going to continue to make things much more difficult for the people of Pennsylvania the longer this drags out.
Okay. Let's go back to Tracy for just a bit about, how you connect with the people out there. I mean, you can go and talk to people about something, but does that tend to make them feel like, hey, there's an organization that's open to me?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing the people that come up to our table. We usually try to draw the kids in with some kids events and things, kids activities, but the parents that come up to us usually are secretly saying, I used your services, my sister used your services, my brother, whatever. And we hear stories, or we hear the people say, I know someone who needs your services. So we give them the pamphlet or even a pen or a pencil, something with our hotline number on it so they can secretly have it and use it when they need it. It's amazing the number of people that come up to us and talk to us about this issue.
And you mentioned services that helped my brother. Well, that's brings up the issue that this isn't all about women.
Exactly. We help women, men, children, the LGBTQ community, anyone that needs our services, we are available for.
Definitely a much broader base than we probably thought of 30 years ago.
Oh, definitely. It was in 2009 we rebranded from Susquehanna Valley Women in Transitions to Transitions of PA for that very reason.
What would you say to people right now who are listening who would like to in some way help?
Yeah, I think that if people are interested in helping, there's a variety of ways they can do that. Certainly from the perspective of the budget impasse and how that's creating extreme challenges for our communities, calling your legislator, asking them, what is their position? Why haven't things moved in Pennsylvania? Sharing their own personal stories about how the budget impasse may be impacting them or their family. Those stories are really, really important. We would say if you're a survivor and you're willing to share your story and you feel the courage to do so, having your legislators hear that is really important, and having them understand about, if our services hadn't been available, what could have been the outcome for you. In terms of our local community, we're always looking for volunteers. We're always, extremely appreciative of any type of donation that could be financial. It could also be, tangible goods. We've had a really, really strong support in, you know, just ensuring that we have supplies for our safe houses, because those are the things that happen when dollars aren't flowing. You know, we have to cut back on every area that we can. For example, and I don't think my team will be sad about sharing this forward, one of the things that we stopped doing is having a cleaning company come and clean our offices. We are all chipping in. You know, we've looked at our advertising. We've had to cut back on advertising where we were doing paid advertising. And so staff are working harder on the social media side and getting information out. We've had to take a look at a lot of things financially that have been sort of part of our infrastructure to try to determine, you know, how we can pull that back a little bit right now. And, nonprofits are really great at doing these things, right? We're really great at doing less with less. But really, we're always focused on doing more despite that.
And the whole goal is to help people and the kind of being let down on the state side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's ultimately what we're here for, is to be, a resource for anyone who needs us, for them to understand that, services with us are free to them. They're confidential. You know, we're never going to share their story forward. We're not going to share their information. And our goal is to help them get to safety. And we're going to continue to do that no matter what's happening in Harrisburg, no matter what's happening at the federal level. And we'll continue to pivot along the way. But, Transitions is heading into our 50th year as an organization, or as an incorporated organization. 1976, we incorporated as a nonprofit. And so spring of next year is, our official birthday. So 50 years in this work, cannot be erased and will not be erased. And we're going to continue to move forward despite all the challenges.
Let's close with thoughts on how people can contact you.
Yes, they can use our 24-hour hotline at any time, 1-800-850-7948, or they can get online and look at our website. We have different resources. We have a link tree on there with lots of resources they could use. So those are probably the two best ways to get in touch with us. Facebook, okay. Instagram, and I think LinkedIn is coming soon.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.